Hi, it's Jade Emerald. You're listening to Life Autistic. This is episode number 695. It's interesting when I finally get around to going back and listening to podcasts. I'm often surprised they turn out better than I anticipate. I have glittering jewels in and among the swell that usually comes out of this. It comes from the whole thing of not making great preparations when you just jump into a podcast episode. And I have no idea at this point if anybody even listens to the podcast anymore. I think I've alienated almost everyone at one time or another, just getting really offended by something I've said. And this I understand. I am not a person who takes offense. I'm more concerned with my making sure other people are happy. You know, I have to really honestly say that I don't have much respect for people who are easily offended. And so many people are, you know, they almost use it as their basic weapon, is to say, I'm offended, and that becomes justification for all kinds of, you know, just patheticness. And I don't have any understanding of that. I don't get offended. I may turn away at things that seem wrong to me, and I often do that. In politics, I am that way often, because what I most often feel is betrayed. You know, I don't consider that the same as being offended. Offended means that I feel like I've been, you know, well, offense, I guess, is to say, I'm not sure what the difference is particularly, but what I had hoped for doesn't come to pass, and that saddens me, and I don't want to be associated with that. You know, the fact that people so often throw in their lot with a certain way of being, a certain ideology, whatever, and then they will go down with that ship if that ideology goes down in effigy. Those people will go down effigy too. They'll continue to fight for an ideology that, which to me, has become vacuous, because it doesn't solve the problem. I find the only thing I can turn to that I can really put my trust in is God and Christ and the fact that I must be loyal to the brethren, the prophet and the apostles, and therefore I go for that. And when I find myself out of step with them, I try diligently to reconnect with them. Even if that means I look a fool, you know, so many people, I guess, when I see offense, it's usually toward people trying to recover their pride. And I find that I don't have a stomach for that. You know, I'm not going to say that I'm not prideful. I'm not going to say that. I think that in itself is almost a boast. To say, well, I am not prideful, and to go, no, I'm sure I am. But I find myself working against whatever attitudes would be expected to elevate that pride, you know. I think people find it odd that I don't defend myself. That when I hear a reason and I turn from it, I often turn from it, period. You know, and Jay's going to stand by what he said, and he's going to, you know, even if it may not be quite right, he will make justifications and he'll try to make himself look good. I see that so much around me that it is bothersome. I don't quite know what to say just in relation to that, you know. Because I don't want to say, oh, he's better than I am. I go, you know what, honestly, I am not. I am not better. In fact, I usually think myself quite inferior to most people around me. Maybe if I had any capability, maybe I could pull off pride. That's why I often say that I am that Zeniths have problems with pride because they can't sustain it. You know, for 5 or 10 minutes, one can't be in a position of doing it. That's why I feel myself better served in support roles, where I support people and I can give support or withdraw support at any time. I don't have any affiliations because I find almost all people, almost all organizations, almost all institutions are disappointing, and therefore I don't associate with them. I fear for the time when I retain my allegiance to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints only as the instrumentality of the Kingdom of God as it stands on earth. I find with difficulty when men within the church fall, that this is sad. This saddens me. I don't want to see leaders fall because I am commanded to be loyal to them, and I will not be loyal to those who fall. I cannot find myself that way. So what happens to Jay? Jay ends up being betrayed. Sometimes. I don't find myself betrayed very often. Thank goodness I'm in a position where I can offer assistance and help, and I don't have to feel like I am a cohort to policy, because I'm not. I stay, I guess people say I stay aloof to it. I find myself viewed as a traitor when I'm only trying to pursue truth, but it's difficult when concepts of truth and right get mixed up in personalities, people. You know, you must be loyal to me if you're loyal to God. It's like, oh, you are taking dangerous steps that I won't do. I will continue to do my job. I will try to lighten your load, but I will not speak in favor or against anything that you do. And I don't want to say that there's any particular instances that I am just refraining from saying names, for instance. I'm not. You know, people are not totally good and people are not totally bad. I try to do what I feel is the right thing to do. I try to follow God. And it depresses me when men fall from grace, which they will inevitably do. Not being perfect, not always following falling in the footsteps of Christ. And I don't anticipate that they will. That's why it's difficult for me to use words like betrayal. Because what loyalty could they bring to the table in the first place? What loyalty can any of us bring to the table when we are imperfect, when we do sad things, when we try to listen for the Spirit and we act upon what we feel, and sometimes this is feelings of the Spirit and oftentimes it is not. I struggle with that myself. I don't know what to do. So I just continue on. I soldier on, and whatever happens, happens. Whatever bad things happen, happens. Things like that. Anyway. Now when it comes to the elections coming up, I get very depressed. There's really not any candidate that I particularly even like. I don't know how I'm going to vote. I'm probably going to vote for some, you know, crazed lunatic fringe fourth party candidate. Because I can't give myself with any kind of interest to any of them. I see, you know, I will tell you that I am an idealist, and nobody is ideal. All are tainted. All have done wrong. And although you can be somewhat forgiving of their humanness, I can only say that I think when push comes to shove, I think each one of the people who are presented to me, at least, as a candidate for any office, I am unhappy with where they would choose to go. America is falling, I think. At times in the past, I've thought that maybe it's a time to leave. Of course, I don't know where on earth I would go, you know, where people say, well, things are better, and you go, no, I don't think things are really, really even any better anyplace else. The whole world is falling apart. I don't know if America is in the forefront of the fall or in the rearward, I don't know. But, I feel in some part just the need to kind of hunker down and to wait it out, see what happens. I will continue to call for liberty, for personal, individual liberty, tempered by civilization. Knowing, though, that this is a telestial world, and that as more and more people turn to the telestial ways and embrace it, and finally find comfort and solace, or, not even that. People that embrace telestialism and say that this is the way it will always be and that we must just resign ourselves to this. bothers me. And that governments are set up for those kind of people. They're not created for such as me. And I don't know if that's Zenus. I don't know if that's just Jay. I don't know. And I find myself drawn to just living a quiet life in some corner where hopefully I will be forgotten, or where I will be unseen or ignored or anything. And I think back to the Star Trek film, First Contact, the second of the Next Generation films. And that this was given as a possibility that they wouldn't be able to, that, you know, that the ship was going to be destroyed, that they would never be able to return home, that they would have to remain in the 22nd century, you know, several hundred years before the land that they had lived in. And he said, find some quiet place, settle down, and live out your life in peace. And I find myself tempted to do that. But at the other side, I feel the compulsion to, obsession, to continue to try to find ways to reach others like me, whether there are people like me or not. I will continue to reach out toward them. And whoever hears those things, kind of a message in a bottle that is sent out, not for rescue. I don't foresee rescue by anybody on this world. I foresee rescue from others, from Christ and God, and that they will be the rescuers. That somehow I may be among those that are taken up when this place is demolished and something better is put into place, that I will somehow find myself rescued from this fate and taken and be a part of that next rebuilding, that I will be able to be a part of that. I hope so. But to offer that message in the bottle, not for me, but for you, for those of you out there, a message of warning not to embrace the celestial in despair. You know, I guess not to call upon the lesser of two evils and hope for that, but to look steadfastly toward God and Christ and know that they will come, that they will bring us hope, that they will save us. Anyway, so, boy, it's kind of a depressing one. I don't know what constitutes the gems of the episodes, but I find them every now and then. I will try to assemble them at some point and make them into at least something of a podcast. Not one that gets added to very often, but kind of the best of podcast. You know, I can arrange the syndication however I want to. You know, still accessing the same basic recordings, but ones that I felt like struck a chord with me. Not that they're going to be the best at all, but hopefully at least decent. Okay, back to Dirt Road now. Hear the aspect change, perhaps. But yeah. To continue to make the warning voice not to attach yourself to this world. not to attach yourself to the celestial, not to lose hope in better, and that you scrabble for, you know, whatever. Knowing that the governments of this world will fall. Knowing that things will fall apart. And if you've attached yourself too diligently, made yourself alliances that will pull you to places where you shouldn't be. And says, I guess, I don't know if I've done right. I don't know. But I tend to reject alliances on this celestial sphere for fear that they will pull me in and force me to do something that is against God and God's will. So I only attach myself to God's will and nothing else. And I hope that I don't err in trying to follow God, knowing that although that I will at times, I hope that when the moment arrives that I will hear the call, you know, when Zion is rebuilt, that either I will hear the call and come and understand it, or I will be left where I am to do whatever work I will be called on to do. I hope whatever I'm supposed to do, I will understand what I'm supposed to do and do it, and that I will not be consumed by despair, as so many people seem to be, or as so many people at this time seem to just lurch from hope to hope, and run to whatever offers the kind of safety that people hope for. I fear that will be the ultimate downfall. That evil will, and I don't want to attach names to anything because I don't know. That people just go running to some kind of blind hope that with some sort of a change all will be well, or all will get a little better. And I think that is, at its heart, dangerous in and of itself. If you don't turn to God, you don't turn to His precepts, to Christ and His teachings, and put your faith and trust in Him, that you're going to, you know, that you're going to lose yourself. You're going to lose yourself in jumping on the wrong wagon. I would just as soon not jump on any wagon as jump on the wrong one. Oh, excuse me. You know, when it comes down to this podcast, at this time I really don't know what to do with it. Besides just make recordings as things come to mind. And if things don't come to mind, well, you get recordings of things that really haven't come to mind. Big cows. Lots of big cows. They all look the same to me. But I think... I don't know, except to continue to turn to God, Christ, the prophet, and the apostles, the brethren, and look to them for guidance. Put my faith in them, and whatever it is they're saying, do it. Do it. And I can't offer anything else as advice. But whenever I have followed the prophet, the apostles, I have found solace to my heart. And comfort in a time when there is little comfort available. And it's sad to see the way people flop madly between one side or another. Kind of the exuberance over, say, for instance, Sarah Palin as vice president. This is September of 1998. 2008. And, you know, people get so excited about a person that really isn't going to be able to affect anything. A vice president is nothing. Any one individual is really nothing. The only individual that really holds any, wields any power at all is the president. And it's depressing to see how much power is kind of given to the president as he becomes more and more, is given more and more dictatorial power to just say and to act as he wishes. And he can call a state of emergency at any time, and then he has all kinds of amazing powers, even beyond what would be considered useful for a king. Or being able to be wielded by, you know, a sovereign. That we have turned to emperors. And that we will see the kind of fall, I guess, that... Well, not really a fall like Rome had. Rome had kind of a slippage and a breaking apart. But maybe that's what we'll have, too. I don't have any clue. Anyway, so, sorry, trying to be a little upbeat, but it's hard. It's hard in these times to be upbeat, except to say, look toward God, try to find solace from Him, and not to turn really much to anything else, you know. Putting your loyalty in somebody else is dangerous. And I don't tend to. And I find myself less and less inclined to even try. Loyalty of friendship is even spent on me. Where I don't have, eternal going by. Where I don't feel a real connection to anyone. Anyone that I'm going to try. There's people I'll try to help. But, to put my trust in someone is dubious at best. I can only trust God. God, Christ, and if there are any men, if there are any men at all that I can, I don't know if I can put my trust in them, but I have to. There's really no choice. I must trust someone. You must side with one side or the other. It's got to be with the brethren. And I hope they don't fail. I hope that they stand against the winds ahead of us. I have to put my trust in that. And I do. So that's the only advice I can give anybody else, is to do the same thing. If you put your trust in preachers, or you put your trust in politicians, or in leaders, or in some messianic person besides Christ, I can't help but that you will go down a bad course. Don't put trust in them. I guess my great thing is I refuse to tie my tiny boat to any larger one except for the one that I think is Christ. and his apostles. And that's all I can do. That's the only place I will go. Anyway, so this is Jay Nemro. I feel depressed. I feel depressed with the finality of this. I pray God watch over us all. The contact email is autism@quix.us. Feel free to let me know if you're still listening at all. I put up these episodes. I update the podcast when I can, and I guess I get a little despondent at times, you know. I remember the tagline for the now defunct Radio Free Liberty, you know, where he says, "Can anybody hear me?" Stuff like that. I remember the line from 1776, the musical and the movie. John Adams sings, you know, "Is anybody there? Does anybody care? Does anybody see what I see?" And I kind of find myself in that position. And I feel myself woefully inadequate to really offer any decent advice. I feel like that I don't provide much of a rudder even for my own family. And I don't know what to do. Well, anyway, so this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to episode number 695. Have a nice day. Keep.